You got to like that spirit, all right? I just want you to stay up, stay awake during preaching. That's all I care about. All right, come on. I certainly have enjoyed being here. I enjoyed yesterday morning's chapel. I told my wife and children how much I enjoyed it. I've always heard about the Howells Anderson College spirit, but I caught it yesterday, all right? And it's just been good to be here. I have thoroughly enjoyed it, and I have just... my stay has been of encouragement in my own heart, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to preach again this morning. I enjoyed all the things I've been able to do with Hammond Baptist Institute on Tuesday night, just a wonderful time with those men and ladies, and then with you in the morning, and class yesterday, and then last night, and just I go home today a blessed man. I can say like those young people just saying, God's been good. Yeah. If I went home to be the Lord today, I'd go home a happy man, saved. I had the same wife for 42 years, 3 children that love the Lord, live for Him, serving Him, 8 grandchildren, 7 of those been born again. My wife counts our children. They're numbered. Cute kid number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So when Nana asks for a picture, they automatically get in chronological order from the oldest to the youngest. And when cute kid number 4 was born again, I was preaching somewhere. And he called me and he said, Papa, I just got saved. He said, we're brothers now. I said, yes, Landon, we're brothers now. And... what a wonderful, wonderful reality, isn't it, to know the Lord? He's good, isn't he? Thank y'all. That was a blessing. And I really enjoyed it. I like good singing. I wished I could sing. I can sing. I can sing, okay? I do my best singing in the middle of a sermon, okay? So I told the fellas before we came out for the chapel today, I've been in the same church, like I said yesterday, 40 years. I served on staff 16 and a half. And my preacher, our pastor emeritus, Dr. Randy Cox, is 89, still living, very faithful, never misses service, still goes soul winning, and just an amazing guy. So if I sing during the middle of a sermon, he always comes, he speaks to me after every sermon, thanks me for the preparation, for the study, for the delivery, just very encouraging. But if I sing, he tells me one of two things. He'll take me by the hand and he'll say, Pastor, you're in the spirit today. Now, what that means is I found a key and I stayed on it the whole song. But other times he'll come out and he'll say, Pastor, you were in the flesh today. That means I never found the key I was looking for, okay? And it may not be the key it was written in, just I can sing well without an instrument, all right? But I love to sing. One of the things I do every day of my life, basically, is I post a hymn to my Twitter and Facebook page every morning. I sing a song to the Lord every day. The Lord's never been upset about my singing. And I believe God put that verse, make a joyful noise, in the Bible for me. Because it is a noise, but it is joyful. I love singing. I'm like Dr. Bob Jones Sr. If I'd been able to sing, I probably wouldn't have preached, because I just enjoy singing that much. And you make it fun to sing. I enjoy watching you sing. And thank you for your good spirit and your singing and all that's gone on. Thank you, Brother Jesse, and to all the administration here, to Pastor Wilkerson. I am just eternally grateful for the opportunity that's been mine to be here. And I told you yesterday morning about the older and younger preacher. Let me tell you one more story about an older and younger preacher. This older preacher realized he was losing his crowd. People were going to sleep on him. There's a young preacher sitting there in the crowd. And the older preacher, when he realized some folks were falling asleep, he stopped. Well, immediately, quiet in a Baptist church woke up 2 or 3. And then he said, I spent the best years of my life in the arms of another man's wife. When he said that, every eye looked at him. He said, it was my mother. So the young preacher's thinking, that's a good line. I'm going to use that sometime when people are going to sleep. So sure enough, wasn't very long after that, he's preaching, and two or three folks were nodding off, going to sleep on him, and he got to thinking, what did that older preacher say? What did that older preacher say? He said, I know what he did. So he stopped. And sure enough, just like the older preacher, when he got quiet, a couple folks looked up around. Little country church I grew up, there was a man in our church you always knew when he woke up. When he woke up, he always said, amen, preacher, amen. You know, people, everybody's going to hell. Amen, preacher, amen. You know, it didn't matter what was being said. He just, Brother Doc Cameron said, amen, preacher, amen. So he stopped, and sure enough, a few folks, and then he said, I spent the best years of my life in the arms of another man's wife. And when he said that, every eye looked at him. It scared him to death. And he said, and for the life of me, I can't remember who it was. So you better remember that punchline, right? My preacher, he can't tell jokes, so he'd be out preaching somewhere. He'd come back and he said, Brother Tim, I got this great joke I want you to tell. He said, because I'm not a joke teller. And so I use a lot of stuff that he gave me. But I invite your attention, please, this morning to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And I want to direct our attention just to three very familiar verses. When I was a 17-year-old young man, three or four preachers had taken great interest in my life. And I grew up in a lower part of the state of Alabama. I told you that yesterday, L.A., Dothan. And those preachers took a great interest in my life. And they were going to Kinston, North Carolina to a conference. And they asked me if I wanted to go, and I said, well, when is it? And they told me Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I said, you mean I'd have to get out of school? Yes, I believe it's God's will. And so I went, heard Dr. Tom Malone Sr. and Dr. B.R. Lakin. I didn't know either one of those men. That'd be like, Brother Collins, you coming up introducing yourself the first time. I didn't know who they were. That conference, we drove Sunday afternoon after church. We stopped, went to church in Statesboro, Georgia, drove on, got to Kinston on Monday morning about 8 or 9 o'clock. The conference started at 11. We laid down, took a nap, and went over, and Dr. Lakin preached that morning. And went to lunch, and one of the preachers, older preachers I was with, he knew the host pastor. And we went in a restaurant where the host pastor came in with Dr. Lakin and Dr. Malone, and I ate lunch with them. Now, if I'd have known Brother Stubblefield then what I know now, I'd have got down and just shined the men's shoes. I wouldn't have sat at the table with them. But Dr. Lakin in that meeting made a statement that helped me as a 17-year-old young man preaching. He said, don't be afraid of the familiar text. Matter of fact, he preached John 3:16 in that meeting. He preached heaven and preached the Holy Spirit, three of his great messages. And this morning it's a familiar text. So would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? But let's let God speak to us this morning from it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Would you just ask the Lord right now? I know you're in chapel every week. Would you just ask the Lord right now to speak to your heart? You know, I believe God's blessings are found at the intersection of Truth Avenue and Submission Street. You and I hear the truth and submit ourselves. Would you just ask God to speak to you? Let's pray together, would you please? Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful and blessed opportunity is ours to be in this place in this hour. I thank you for these young men and young ladies who dedicated themselves to separate themselves to prepare for that which you have for their lives. I thank you for these men and ladies who have invested. Many of them I've met over the last couple of days who've been here for decades, giving their lives to prepare another generation of laborers in your harvest. And so, Lord, I pray this morning you'd sanctify this time, that you'd use it in my life and in the life of every hearer. And I pray today we would find ourselves in submission to your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Paul is using an athletic event. It is the long distance run. In his day, that was one of the most popular athletic events. And you know, if you're familiar at all with those letters that the Holy Spirit of God inspired Paul to write, that he often used very common day activities and events to describe and explain spiritual truth. Matter of fact, in this same chapter, he's used some accounting terms. Up in chapter 3 of Philippians, he says, those things I counted gain were but for loss for Christ. He used military terms like fight the good fight of faith, put on the whole armor of God. He used architectural terms about Christ, the chief cornerstone, and the church being the building of God. And on and on and on we go throughout his writings. And here in the book of Philippians, he is once again using the long distance run. On Tuesday night, I spoke in the Hammond Baptist Institute chapel from Galatians chapter 5. You did run well, but who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And the reality is, every one of us who are saved this morning, we're in the race. We didn't get in the race because we deserve to be in the race. It is a race of grace. And it is only the good grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But that next verse says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. And so when we get saved, God puts us in a race. And every one of us, Brother Jesse, have our own course, our own race. You remember the Apostle Paul, when he'd get to the end of his life, he would say, I've kept the faith. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And the reality is, this morning, every one of us in this room have a different course. Your race is not my race, and my race is not your race. One of the great problems I think we probably have, many of us in our own Christian walk with the Lord, is we get to looking around instead of looking ahead. And so Paul says, I want to take this long distance run. Now, I'm not a runner. Okay, I told him that Tuesday night, I'm not a runner. My son's a runner. He's fixing to do the dopey challenge. He's going to run a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, and a marathon in 4 days. I think that's quite dopey. But anyway, I'm not a runner. I do run to the refrigerator every once in a while. Or somebody chasing me, I can run then too. But he uses this race to teach us spiritual truth. Now, he never uses the race as obtaining salvation. He uses the race always to speak about sanctification, growing in Christ-likeness, being more of what the Lord Jesus wants us to be. Because in order to participate in the Greek games, you had to be a citizen of the city-state or the community, or as you and I would say in our day, of the country in which you are a part. Now, I want to just go ahead and go on record here before we get any further. God doesn't reward you for finishing first. If that were the case, we don't have an opportunity, because millions of people have finished their race before you and I were even born. God rewards us for finishing faithful.
Amen. Good.
So I want you to see three essentials as we run in this race of grace. First of all, I want you to realize the facts. Look at verse number 12. Paul starts off here, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Number one, if you're gonna run this race of grace, you got to realize the facts. What are the facts? Number one, fact number one, you have not arrived. That's what that word attain means. It means to arrive at a goal. And Paul says, you know what? I haven't made it to the goal. Now, when we think of the Apostle Paul, and probably some of us, I've said it. I've heard others say it. The Apostle Paul is the greatest Christian ever lived. I'm not for sure that's true. I don't know every Christian who's ever lived. I think he was a wonderful church planter, pioneer, missionary, followers of Christ. I believe without a doubt, the most prolific writer in the New Testament under inspiration of God's Spirit. But the reality is, I know this. Paul didn't think of himself as somebody who'd made it. He says, not as though I were already attained, either already perfect. That word perfect means mature, complete. You know what a sure sign of a maturing Christian is? A sure sign of a maturing Christian is he or she understands that they've not yet fully matured. I've been a believer 51 years. I've been in ministry. I've been preaching since 1974, whatever that is, 47 years. Listen to me. I haven't made it. And the moment you think you've made it, you've messed up. You'll walk across the stage one day and receive that sheepskin, and you'll be a graduate of Hiles Anderson College. But listen to me, that's just another step on the journey. As a matter of fact, we call it commencement exercises. Why? Because it's not a finishing, it's a beginning. And Paul says you need to realize this fact. And the fact is, not one of us has attained. I mean, you think about all Paul's done, the churches he's planned, the letters he's written, the places he's traveled. He is suffering for the cause of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, when he writes this letter, he's in prison for the first time in Rome. But he says, I want you to understand that I understand that I have not attained. But look what he does. Look at it. Verse 12, but, would you read those next three words out loud together with me? But I follow after. That's an interesting phrase. If you were to look into the original language the New Testament was written in, the Greek language, you would find that the root of the word that's translated follow after is used earlier in this same chapter. Go back up to chapter 3. And verse number 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. The word translated persecuting in verse 6 and the phrase follow after in verse 12 have the same root word. You know, this is what Paul's saying. Paul's saying the same passion I had to stomp out Christianity, I now have to spread Christianity. The same passion I had to kill Christians, I now have to preach Christ. He said, the fact is, I haven't made it, but the fact is, I must follow after. I must keep going on. Look at it. Verse 12. If that I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended. That word's interesting. Brother Jesse, will you help me just a minute? The word apprehended means to grab hold of. Okay? So look there at verse 12 again. He says that I may apprehend, grab hold, that for which I'm apprehended or grabbed hold of Jesus. All right? So I'm going to let, I think for the illustration's sake, I'm going to let Brother Jesse be Paul and I'll be Jesus. I think that'll be a better illustration, don't you? We could flip-flop it, but it might not be good. But anyway, no, I'm joking. All right, so I want you to grab hold of me, brother. All right, is that about the best you got? Okay. All right, and he said, I want to grab hold of Jesus like Jesus grabbed hold of me. You know what? When Jesus grabbed hold of me, he grabbed hold of me fully. When Jesus grabbed hold of me, he grabbed hold of me forever. When Jesus grabbed hold of me, he grabbed hold of me firmly. You know, when Jesus grabbed hold of me, hey, he got me in his grip and I'm not going to slip. Listen to me. He says, I want to grab hold of Jesus like Jesus grabbed hold of me. Thank you. Thank you. You better understand. And it's not you and it's not me that's going to finish the race of grace. It's because Jesus got a hold of us and he lives in us. And he who lives in us is greater than he that lives in the world. And you and I don't have to give in. We don't have to give out. And we don't have to give up because we're in this race to finish. But don't miss it. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, as much as I want to grab hold of Jesus, like he's grabbed hold of me, he said, the honest truth sometimes is my grip slips. And it can slip right in the middle of a Bible college. It can slip right in the middle of Bible study. It can slip right here. It can slip where I'm at in ministry. Listen to me. If you're going to finish the race of grace, you got to realize a fact. Fact number one, you haven't arrived. Fact number two, you better follow after. Amen. Secondly, he said, recognize the focus. Look at verse 13. But this one thing I do. That's a powerful phrase. It's a phrase that speaks of focus. It's a phrase that speaks of consecration, concentration. That little phrase is used in multiple places. Jesus said to the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, one thing thou lackest. Jesus said to busy Martha, as she was criticizing her sister Mary, he said to Martha, one thing is needful. That young man who received his sight in John chapter 9, he said, this one thing I know. Paul said, this one thing I do. If you're going to be what God wants you to be, you'll find that you have to have a focus. I believe the writer of Hebrews gives us that focus when he says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. Listen to me this morning, young man. Your eyes better not be on your professor. Your eyes better not be on your preacher. Your eyes better not be on someone else. Your eyes better be staying on Jesus, because I'm going to tell you, you'll get disappointed. You'll get let down. You'll get distracted. You'll get detoured. But if you'll just keep your eyes on Jesus, he's not just the author. He's the finisher of our faith, and he finished it all. This one thing I do. First preacher biography I ever read after I started preaching as a 15-year-old young man was The Life of D.L. Moody, written by his son. I took that book. It was probably about 400, 500 pages. I'd never read a book that many pages in my life, but I had a burning in my heart to learn more about God and about the ministry and about men that God has used. And so I took that book and I began to read that book. Oh, how the burning went down in my heart as I read of Dwight Lyman Moody, his conversion and his ministry. And one of the parts I remember in that book that God used in my life was, it was around the Chicago Fire, 1871. Moody was involved in a lot of things, Sunday school, evangelistic work, the YMCA, when it was really Young Men's Christians Association, and a lot of things he was doing. But that fire that night swept through the city. We still commemorate that fire the first week of October every year in America's Fire Prevention Week. So people perished in that fire. That Mr. Moody didn't give an invitation that night, and that was not unusual in those days. Not always to open the inquiry room. Because of that, God burdened Dwight Moody's heart about evangelistic work. And in that book, there's a quote from Mr. Moody. He said, it is better to say this one thing I do than these 40 things I dabble in. You better get a focus. But when you focus, there's two parts of that focus. Don't miss them there in verse number 13. Number one, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean that you can blank it out of your mind. Don't you wish you could, huh? I've got some things I wished I'd never remember ever again. But God didn't make us that way. But remember what the illustration is? It's a running illustration. So the word forgetting is a runner's term. What it means is not to be brought under the power of those things which are behind us. Hey, listen to me. I've got a race. I'm looking to Jesus. I'm running. But you know, I'm prone to look around and see where Brother Jesse's at, or Pastor Wilkerson, or Brother Collins, or Brother Stubblefield. And listen to me. Every time I look around, instead of looking ahead, I lose my focus. Forgetting those things which are about. What do you need to forget? I'll tell you what. Forget your past sins. I love that little children's song. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are G-O-N-E, gone. I'm glad they're gone. When the devil brings them up, I say they're under the blood.
Amen.
Forget your past sins. Forget your past sorrows. You say, oh, Brother Rabin, you don't know how many people have hurt me. Listen to me. Get in line. Everybody that knows the Lord's been hurt by good people. If you were in the service last night, it was the disciples who were seeking to discourage Mary.
Right.
Everybody's been hurt. I've been hurt. You've been hurt. All God's people have been hurt. Let's get over it and go on. All right? Put that behind you. Past sorrows. I'll tell you what else put behind you. Put past successes behind you.
Amen.
I get a little nervous. I go out and I preach some out and people come up to me and say, now Pastor Raymond, I'll tell you what I used to do. I understand that all of us don't have the same energy and the same ability we used to have, but I'm really not interested in what you did 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 15 days ago. I'm interested in what you're doing today.
Amen. That's good.
That's the focus. This one thing I do.
Amen.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That word reaching forth, that phrase means to stretch forward, to run with great energy. It's the picture of a runner who has every muscle straining, his heart is pounding, his lungs are gasping for every breath of air, and he's going toward the finish line. That's the reason it says in Hebrews 12:1, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Endurance. We need to be like the Energizer Bunny. Keep going and going and going and going and going. You and I are going to run this race of grace. We gotta realize the facts. We haven't made it. We gotta follow after. We gotta recognize the focus. One last truth, and I'll be through. We got to remember the finish. Look at verse 14. Matter of fact, would you read out loud together with me verse 14? You ready? I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul saw? He saw two things. Number one, he saw the mark. What's the mark? The mark's the finish line. Thing is, we don't know when our mark's going to be. I'm 62 years of age. I realize that I have a lot less living than I've ever had in my life. On my 38th birthday, I was a youth pastor. I'd been called as the pastor of a church. We were kind of co-pastoring for about 10 months together. I was with our teenagers on a missions trip in Mexico. On the morning of my 38th birthday, I woke up. And in my quiet time with the Lord impressed on my heart, probably half your life's gone. And I sat down and asked the Lord to help me to make some goals for the second half of my life. I've seen some of those things I haven't yet. There's a mark. I don't know when I'm going to finish. I don't know where I'll finish. But there's a finish line. And listen to me, we're in the race to the finish line. My favorite Olympic story is the story of John Stephen Aquari. Aquari was sent to represent the country of Tanzania in the 1968 Olympics, Mexico City, Mexico. He was running the marathon, that 26.2-mile race. If you know anything about the marathon, it starts in the stadium, then it goes out through the countryside, comes back and finishes in the stadium. Somewhere along the race, Mr. Aquari fell, injured himself. The medics came to him. They began to bandage him up. And then they were going to put him on a stretcher and put him in the ambulance, take him to the clinic. He realized what they were doing. He said, oh, no. Oh, no. I'm not going to the clinic. I'm going to the finish line. Over 3.5 hours after the last of all the other runners entered Olympic Stadium, Mr. John Stephen Aquari entered the stadium. He made the last lap around the stadium. And when he crossed the finish line, for those of us my age and older will remember ABC, Wild World of Sports, and one of their reporters is there with him, and he says to him, Mr. Aquari, don't you know that the last runner finished over 3.5 hours ago? Why in the world would you stumble into this stadium injured and finish the race? I love Aquari's answer. He said, my country didn't send me to start and run the race. My country sent me to finish the race. Listen to me, God didn't save me to get in the race.
Right.
God saved me so I could finish the race.
Right.
So I can go across the line. So I can finish faithful.
Amen.
There's not only a mark, there's a medal. Look at it. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What in the world is that talking about? Remember, it's a running illustration. So in those stadiums, in those days, in those Greek games, if the Caesar was in attendance, he would sit up in a particular box, what you and I would call a skybox in our vernacular. He would have a place up, and he would oversee the games. And when the race was finished, and the runners had crossed the finish line, the Caesar would look over at one of his attendants, and he would say, go call whoever the winner is, the victor is. Go call him up. And that attendant would descend the stairs, make his way down to the track, would say to him, you've been called up. They would then ascend the stairs. He would bow before the Caesar. And the Caesar would put the Stephanos at green laurel wreath, the victor's crown on his head. Well, listen to me. Our King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one day is going to look over at one of his angels and say, go tell Tim he's been called up. And that angel's going to come down wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, and saying, I'm going to ascend those stairs. And I'm going to see Jesus. And I'm going to fall down before him. And I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to receive a crown of life, a crown of joy, a crown of endurance, a crown of soul winning, whatever it is. But you know what I'm going to do with my crowns? I'm going to take them on my head. Lay them at his feet. Because I'm only in the race because of his grace. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You and I know he went by the way of beheading. I'm sure that day, Brother Jesse, people stood around when they severed his head from his body, and I'm sure some of those folks standing there said, well, old Paul, he just bit the dust. But those that knew better said, oh, no, old Paul just hit the tape. I think he never got over the day that he heard Stephen say, I see Jesus standing. You and I are in the race. We're going to finish the race and finish faithful. There's some facts we got to realize. There's a focus. There's a finish. May God help us finish faithful. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Lord, I thank you for that good day You let me get in the race. March 15, 1970. Thank you, Lord. That race has gone on 51 years. I don't know how many more days or weeks or months or years it may go. Lord, when that day comes, I pray, oh Spirit of God, you'd help me to finish faithful. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Would you just stand where you are maybe, and piano can play, whatever you want to do. And you need to slip from your place, find you a place of prayer this morning. Maybe you've been discouraged in the race. Maybe you've been disappointed. You got your eyes on somebody besides Jesus and they let you down. Maybe you've been looking around, comparing yourself with other students or other faculty members. And today, God's just reminds you, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Would you commit, recommit yourself? Lord, I'm on. I won't finish faith.